It's a glory that a person is lifted up, and nobody, watch this now, watch this. This is deep. It's a word that means that you have been exalted, and nobody else realizes it but you. Nobody else realizes it. Vain glory. You're the only one that recognizes this glory. You're the only one that sees it. It's all about me. Us four, no more. Shut the door. It's all about me. And what is that? That is pride. That is stinking pride.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Value of Brokenness in Relationships. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Value of Brokenness in Relationships.
She broke up with this guy. And he was in love with her, and he truly, truly missed her, and she didn't want to have anything to do with him. And so it was a couple months later, and he got a letter from her. And as he got this letter, you know, he had run into some good fortune in the meantime, and he got this letter from his fiancée that broke up the engagement. And she said this. She said, "No words could ever express the great unhappiness I felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one ever could take your place in my heart. Please forgive me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yours forever, Sue. P.S. And congratulations on winning the state lottery." See, what is it about sometimes? It's about self. She didn't want to have anything to do with this guy. But when he won the lottery, oh, we can be in relationship now. Well, what is that about? That's about self. And, you know, sometimes we get in relationships, and notice what I wrote here. Let's read what I wrote here under crucify selfish desires. Do nothing out of strife. New American Standard, selfishness. The King James translators use the word strife to emphasize that this is the selfishness that leads to conflict and division. When people operate out of selfishness in relationships, it results in discord and separation. In order to avoid this, we must crucify selfish desires such as win at any cost attitudes, or I'll prove to you that I'm right mindsets. You know, we got to let that go sometimes. You know, people think, you know, they get into a conflict and get into argument, intense fellowship with your husband, with your wife, and bless God, you're going to prove that you're right and they're wrong. And you're going to stick to it. I mean, you're not going to let go until you prove that you're right. No matter, just like the guy who was running and elbowing people in the eye, tripping people up and knocking in people in the buildings. You might win. You might win. But you've left a trail of blood along the way. You might be able to stand up and pound on your chest and say, "I won. I won." But who really won in that situation? Who really won? And so Paul says that we've got to put away strife. We got to put away the selfishness if we're going to be in a relationship, that we've got to put away the selfishness that leads to division and strife. It's mighty quiet in here this morning. Mighty quiet in here this morning. But you know what? We're going to roll on. We're going to roll on. You know, I must be getting a little close to home. No, I'm getting close to me. So you remember, I already told you that when I point one finger, there's three pointing back at me. So I need this message more than anybody else. All right, so we're going to pray for each other, right? All right, Amen. You know, that's a good thing I'm a preacher that don't need amens, you know? It's a good thing. I don't need amen. I hear preachers say, man, now I can't preach unless y'all say amen. That's not going to stop me. I've been in some quiet situations. So quiet. I remember when I first came to Bethany. I remember the first time I preached at Bethany back in 1989. I preached at Bethany, and it was so quiet in there, man, you could have heard a pin drop. The whole time, I mean, that was just like death silence. Heard the mouse downstairs getting into the crackers. That's how quiet that it was. So y'all have gotten a little bit noisy since I've been here. Amen. But when you think about that, it's that strife that leads to conflict and division. And where does that come from? That comes out of our own little selfish desires. You know, the little things that, you know, we got to have our way. Somebody said, well, what about the big things? Well, that's in one of the questions at the bottom of the page. That's in one of the questions. But I'm just talking about sometimes we got to crucify these fleshly desires. What's the second thing that Paul tells us if we're going to operate in relationships and to some degree of health? He says that you got to put aside pride. He said you've got to put aside pride. Look at verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. The word vain glory actually refers to empty glory. It comes from a word that means empty glory. And so what is empty glory? What is empty glory? It's a glory where a person is exalted without any recognition. It's a glory that a person is lifted up and nobody, watch this now, watch this. This is deep. It's a word that means that you have been exalted and nobody else realizes it but you. Nobody else realizes it. Vain glory. You're the only one that recognizes this glory. You're the only one that sees it. It's all about me. Us four, no more, shut the door. It's all about me. And what is that? That is pride. That is stinking pride. What is it, as we talk about functioning in a relationship, that if I get upset with my brother or my sister, what is it that keeps me from going and apologizing and saying that I'm wrong and asking for forgiveness? It's that stinking pride. That's all that it is. Stinking pride. You have put yourself in a position of vain glory where you think that you're too high and mighty to go and apologize to somebody else. And it's going to be difficult to operate and function in relationship as long as we are filled with vain glory. As a matter of fact, if you're not careful, pride, your pride, is it like the guy said, you know, gun, I don't need a stinking gun. Pride, you hold on to your stinking pride. And I'm going to tell you what your pride is going to do to you. Your pride is going to cause you to fall. The Bible says that pride goeth before the fall. Well, you don't know what they did to me. I got every right to hold it against them. You don't know how they hurt me. You don't know how they wounded me. I can't let go of this that easy. Stinking pride. Well, you know, you weren't there and you didn't see exactly all that went on and you don't know the background as to what stinking pride. Stinking pride. Paul said, put it away. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Put it away. Pride will get you in trouble. I heard a story about these birds that were flying south for the winter. And there was a frog that didn't want to stay in the cold. But he figured that it would take too long to hop down south. So he was trying to hitch a free ride. And he was talking to the birds, and the birds said, well, look, why don't we do this? Why don't we put a stick in each one of our mouths? I'll put a stick in my mouth. The other bird will put a stick in their mouth. And then you, with your mouth, grab onto the stick. And then we'll fly, and we'll take you down south. He said, that sounds like a good idea. So they put the stick in their mouth, and frog put the stick in his mouth. And they began to fly. And they were making good time with this frog hanging on, headed down south. And somebody looked up and said, hey, look at that. Two birds holding sticks in their mouth, carrying the frog. Hey, that's a good idea. Who thought of that idea? And the frog said, it was I. Pride will get you in trouble, Jack. It'll get you in trouble. Pride goeth before the fall. How can you function in relationship? You got to crucify selfish desires. You got to put aside pride. The third thing we see is that you've got to exercise humility. You've got to exercise humility. Verse 3 again. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Lowliness of mind, Paul says. Lowliness of mind. What was he referring to here? He was referring to the attitude of a slave. Back during Paul's day, the slaves were considered second-class citizens. In their mind, they could not put themselves on the level of other people. That they had to have a lower concept in their mind of themselves than they did of others. Paul said, with all lowliness of mind. Now, Paul's not telling you to demean or to put yourself down in any way. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, but if you're in a relationship, that you should have a lowliness of mind. That there should be a humility in relationship. That you don't stick your chest out and you don't demand your rights, but there's a lowliness of mind that when you're in relationship, that there's some humility that takes place when I'm in a relationship. Because see, if I have a humble spirit and I have a humble attitude, this is going to enable me to overcome this beast called self. But if I don't have a humbleness about me, if I don't have a humble mind, then I'm constantly going to be trying to justify myself. I'm constantly going to be demanding my own rights. I'm constantly trying to justify my own way. I'm constantly going to be proclaiming my own goodness. But if I'm in a relationship and I've got a humble spirit, you know, I praise God. I praise God for my brothers. I praise God for my brothers. When my mother passed away, she left a bunch of stuff behind. And some things that she left was pretty valuable. And, you know, it was almost like, you know, why don't you take it? No, why don't you take it? I mean, it was almost like, you know, we were trying to force each other to take it. I mean, I'm talking about some valuable things. And we all decided that, you know, one of the brothers would take it. But I know people in that same situation. Why? Because I deserve this. I deserve this. You don't know what I did. You know, my brother, Emil, pastor down at Christian Tabernacle, the last couple of years, he took care of all my mother's finances. All of her finances he took care of. Not only did he pay his, but he took care of her. It'd been very easy for him to say, well, look, you know, I did more than y'all did. You know, I should take all the stuff that's left. But that wasn't, you know, in lowliness of mind. And we could have walked away from there angry and upset with each other. But, man, we have a great one. When I get together with my brothers, man, we have a great time, fellowship together. Not letting stuff like that come between us. Not letting stuff like that break up relationships. Paul said, with all lowliness, and notice what he said here, all lowliness of mind, esteeming others better than themselves. Now, once again, he's not saying that people are better than you. That's not the point that he's trying to make. But in your mind, as you function in relationship, you give value to those in relationship around you, and you esteem them valuable in the relationship, even to the point sometimes that it's more important that I value what you're thinking and what you want to do than it is what I want to do. And that's the way you function in relationship. The final point here is that not only do you crucify the flesh, not only do you put aside pride, not only do you exercise humility, but you consider others. You consider others. In verse 4, he says, look not every man on his own things. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. This word look means to scope out. It's in your notes if you want to read it. It means to scope out. Now, the glasses that you're looking on at, looking through, are glasses of seeing needs. But let me tell you about a lot of us and what we do. We don't put on the glasses to scope out the situation to see needs. We put on the glasses of criticism to find something wrong so we can go back and say, hey, did you know such and such a thing about that person? Can you believe that they did this and that? Can you believe that they don't have this or that? Can you? And so what do? Instead of scoping the situation out to see the need and see how we can meet the need, what do? We scope it out so that we can go talk about them like a dog. Get on the phone, first thing. Hey, you know what's going on with so-and-so? And then we just run them down like a dog. Paul said, no, in relationship. You know, and let me say this. I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble now. I know I'm getting ready to get into it. Like I said, we're going to hit relationship at every level. But, you know, one of the worst things a person can do is go, if you're in a marriage, is to go to your mother or your father and complain about your spouse. That's the worst thing in the world you can do. Because you know what's going to happen? 9 times out of 10, you and your spouse are going to get back together. But your parent, that's my child that you're messing with. Hey, y'all back in relationship, things are going well, things are going good. You mess with my child. They're not going to let that go. They're not going to let that go. And so that's why it's important as you look in situations and scope situations out and you see things that are in situations, that you don't go and gossip about it to somebody else, but that you see how you can meet the need. And that need can be physical, that need can be spiritual, and that need can be emotional. But you try to see how you can meet the need. And then once you determine what the need is, then you reach out to meet it. But sometimes our problem is we don't understand what the other person needs because, you know, we haven't been attentive to their needs. We haven't scoped out what they need. There was a lady, she said, I'd love to be 6 again. And on her birthday, her husband took her to an amusement park for 5 hours. And they rode all the rides. Man, by the time she got done, her stomach was hurting, her head was spinning. After that, he took her to McDonald's and bought her a children's meal. And they ate the meal, and after that, they went to the movie to see Star Wars. And as they were coming home, walking into the house, the man said to his wife, how did it feel to be 6 again? And she said, you idiot, I was talking about my dress size. See, not connecting, right? Not connecting. But as we consider others, there's that connection where we understand what the needs are and we're able to meet those needs. Well, let me deal real quickly about questions concerning brokenness. Now, once again, I know I can't get into a long discourse today, so I'm just going to give you the abbreviated answer. Who is going to look out for me if I'm dying to self and yielding to others? Who's going to look? If I don't look out for me, you know, who's going to? God is going to look out for you. If you're doing what God told you to do, He's going to look out for you. David said, I've been young and I've been old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. If you do what God tells you to do, God is going to look out for you. What if I'm broken and the other person is not? Well, once again, the other person jumps off a bridge. You're going to jump off one too. Just be faithful to do what God told you to do. You know, don't worry about the other person. You know, focus on yourself. And God will work out the other situation. What if the other person takes advantage of my brokenness? And you know, there are people out there that will take advantage of your brokenness. Well, you know, I go back and I say this, all right, that God does give us wisdom. And if there's people taking advantage of your brokenness, then you need to exercise some wisdom. What they say, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So you need to have a little wisdom in being broken. Being broken don't mean that you just let people walk over you like a doormat. Being broken don't mean that people just can come and kick you around. All right, that's not. You need to have a little wisdom in this idea of brokenness. You know, I noticed he didn't say abuse. He didn't say that, you know, we all need to be abused. He said we need to be broken. How can I exercise brokenness if there's something that is detrimental to the relationship that needs to be dealt with? You know, if I'm being broken, I'm being quiet, I'm not saying anything. Well, no, that's not what brokenness is. Your brokenness is yielding to selfish attitudes and selfish desires. If there's things that are in the relationship that need to be edified and built up, which the Bible talks about, then you need to build up and edify and not be broken. And then last, and once again, I know I'm hitting these quick. How can I tell the difference between brokenness to selfishness and exercising wisdom? Well, it really is that question right there answers itself. You know, brokenness to self. If what I want and what is on my heart is going to benefit me only, then that's selfishness. I need to be broken to it. But if what needs to be dealt with is to build up and to encourage and to move ahead, then that's exercising wisdom. So like I said, I know that's quick. I'd be willing to sit down, and if anybody got a question about this brokenness, give me a call. I'd be willing to talk to you. You didn't go into enough detail on that one right there. Sometimes people will call me or email me, or even sometimes people will say something on the way out the door. Man, you should have hit that one a little bit harder. So I'm just telling you. I know that I breezed through that right there, but if you need some more information, it is available. As we come today, we see the first thing that's essential to any relationship. The first thing that's essential to any relationship is brokenness. I mean, we're going to cover some other things. You know, communication, trust, loyalty. You know, we're going to deal with some of those things. But you know what? Unless there's brokenness in the relationship, then it's very difficult to see that relationship rise and be better.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Power of Forgiveness in Relationships. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Value of Brokenness in Relationships, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Value of Brokenness in Relationships. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request the value of brokenness in relationships, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Galaise and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.